You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Happy Friday morning, if that's when you listen. Happy Thursday night, if you're listening right when I uploaded this on the West Coast. I feel like I've been neglecting some of the emails that are piling up here because I usually go to the mailbag to the Twitter side of things. Got a couple tweets. I want to empty the email. I mean, there's a ton of emails that were pre-draft that I didn't get to. Apologize if you sent one of those emails, but some post-draft emails I want to get to on today's program. Some news about Richard Sherman. Could he potentially be coming back to the 49ers for one more run? And Jed York talking about the development curve of his rookie quarterback. Now, Trey Lance, could it be a couple years before we even see Trey Lance on the field for the 49ers? At BD Peacock on Twitter is where you can find me. That's the best place to contact me or get involved in the show and have a mailbag question on the air. You can also email lockedon49ers@gmail.com. But as you know, if you email me, sometimes those pile up. They're a little long, and they usually don't make the show. And I do want to shout out, actually, one crazy Niner guy on Twitter who said, thank you for keeping me updated on everything 49ers while I'm living across the country in West Michigan. You're a wonderful source of reliable, up-to-date 49ers info. Thank you, crazy Niner guy. He said he's brand new to Twitter, just joined because of the Locked On 49ers podcast. So I appreciate that. And you could be like crazy Niner guy and just join Twitter to talk to me and get your tweets in to me, and we can talk about your stuff on the show. So appreciate everybody out there. See you, Tony, with your email. Very much appreciate your kind words as well. Let's get going on this episode and start with an article from Chris Biederman of the SACB, a friend of the program, was on just last week, or maybe was it 2 weeks ago now. God, we're already a week away from the first round of the draft. How's everybody feeling about the draft? Let me know. You feeling good a week after the fact? At BD Peacock, let me know. Always enjoy hearing from you. Richard Sherman and the 49ers have had some preliminary conversations about returning to San Francisco. He's also been in contact with the Seahawks. A few days ago, did see a report that Sherman said he was cool with maybe coming back to the Niners, maybe coming back to the Seahawks, and apparently he's had those conversations. Those two teams would make the most sense, seeing how the draft went for the 49ers. Didn't draft a corner until round four. Ambry Thomas, who could be a player. I'm going to dive deeper into his film and have an episode talking more about him coming up, maybe next week, actually. Have a fine guest, Mark Schofield, as well, who just had a really awesome article about when Trey Lance could be ready to play. I think he's going to take the under on Jed York's two possible years for Trey Lance. I'm going to talk to him next week about that as well. Just a really deep article at the Touchdown Wire, the NFL site at USA Today, talking about the NFL as a whole and Mark Schofield, former quarterback. He's been on the show before. It's been too long. I think I haven't talked to him since around the Super Bowl a couple years ago. But he's going to join me next week to talk about Trey Lance and when he might be able to play. But back to Richard Sherman. Yeah, Richard Sherman, after, you know, Ambry Thomas didn't even play last year. And, man, if Jason Verrett gets hurt, the 49ers are going to be throwing a rookie out there, Dante Johnson on the outside. I think it would make a lot of sense to bring Sherman back for one more run. With the way the draft went, maybe they had some plans on drafting somebody at corner that went before they selected in round two. I don't think he's going to call. I think it's pretty clear he hasn't signed yet. I don't think teams are beating down his door. I don't think he fits everybody's defense either. And it's probably smart for Sherman, who acts as his own agent. So I have a feeling I know who Chris Biederman's source was, and it was Richard Sherman himself, most likely. I think Sherman is doing a fantastic job being his own agent, being the smart guy that he is, pitting the 49ers and Seahawks against each other if there's some actual interest there. Even if there's not interest from one of those sides, letting the other team know that that their rival, their bitter rival, might also be interested is probably a smart career move, a smart business move by Richard Sherman, future NFL GM. Who knows? Maybe future GM of the 49ers with Frank Gore as running backs coach. Like that. I could see that absolutely happening. So Richard Sherman, yeah, no, makes perfect sense. And we'll see if it happens. I don't think there's a huge market for Sherman. And the 49ers would probably be smart doing that while they develop those couple of rookies and see what they have and maybe go into next draft and maybe have to draft a corner a little higher. Or maybe they just never will draft a corner high because it doesn't seem like that's the 49ers' MO. Richard Sherman could have an impact on Trey Lance too, right? Just that intelligence on the other side of the ball, somebody that could tell him what he sees from that angle. I think that could be beneficial. I think that could just be an extra little bonus. You're not going to sign Sherman because of that. He's not a quarterback's coach, but I'm sure he helped Garoppolo along the way, and I'm sure he would help a 20-year-old rookie like Trey Lance. Absolutely. Just having that kind of veteran on the other side of the ball, putting his arm around him occasionally and saying, look, this is what I'm seeing. This is what you need to do. You need to do this. You need to do this. I think that would be invaluable for a young quarterback. Jed York talking to Matt Maiocco and Laura Britt on the 49ers Talk podcast. This is an interesting one because I get what Jed York is saying here. He said, quote, we've talked internally. If there's a situation where Jimmy goes out and takes us to a Super Bowl again and is an MVP caliber season and does it again where there are worse dilemmas to be in, and Jimmy certainly has the ability to do that. Knowing it's the most important position in sports and it's great to have a guy that you do believe in and has gotten you to a Super Bowl, you don't have to put the weight of the world on a rookie, whoever it was we were going to choose. And now that we know Trey is here, you don't have to put the weight of the world on that kid's shoulders and he can grow into that position. He said, even if he, Lance, doesn't play for 2 years, we still have an extra $100 million to put back into our team on top of whatever we would have for free agency for the next 5 years. This is tough because obviously this is Jed York, who also said he loved watching Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch work together and has a ton of faith in them. Obviously, he has a ton of faith in them, allowing them to use draft picks 2 years into the future to trade for their quarterback. That would be tough for me as an owner. If my GM and head coach came to me and said, hey, we want to make this blockbuster deal, we might draft a guy who doesn't play for 2 years. He might not even step on the field for those years that we gave away first-round draft picks for. That's a tough sell. And I think that would probably be more that Trey Lance is not ready than Jimmy Garoppolo is playing at some insane, crazy level. And Garoppolo could absolutely have another really good year. He had a fine year in 2019. I think that he could even have a better year than that. The defense obviously carried that football team. If Trey Lance isn't ready to play in 2022, that would probably be more of a bad sign than a sign that Jimmy Garoppolo is playing out of his mind, like crazy out of this world, and you can't find a way to get the rookie in there that you just spent multiple picks moving up to get at number three overall. That would probably be a bad sign. So let's hope it doesn't get to that. And in fact, I think it's going to, and who knows, maybe Nick was right. Yesterday, we were talking about how what the over-under was for what week Trey Lance would become the starter for the 49ers. What week would he start his first game? And I thought it was, you know, mid-season this year. Nick said, maybe it's week one, 2022. Stick to the plan. Young guy, don't start him this year. Let Jimmy play, then you start him next year. And I could see that being the plan. But 2 years? Imagine that. Then he wouldn't have played in three full seasons? He would have not played for more seasons than he's actually played going back to high school. I mean, he would already be doing that, I guess, if he doesn't play until 2022. I don't know if that's great for his development, especially in this day and age. Players are playing more and more. Players are more ready than they ever were, too. Very interesting comments there from Jed York. I don't know if we can look too much into that, but obviously the key is, and I think overall, the biggest thing is, because we don't know, we have no clue what Trey Lance is going to look like once he gets into practices, mini camps, into training camp, into the preseason. Maybe he just looks like a prodigy, he's ready to go. Maybe he looks really raw. It's like, okay, maybe it will be a while. But the key to me is the trust from Jed York for Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch to make this deal and be okay with it and know that it could be a couple of years before we see this guy on the field. That's some big time faith from Jed York. And I think it speaks to some job security for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. Now, things can move insanely fast in the NFL. 12 NFL months is like 5 years for the rest of us at our jobs. We'll see. 2 years. I get what he's saying. The sentiment is great. If Trey Lance doesn't play for 2 years, probably a bad sign. Let's hope it doesn't come to that. Your emails, maybe some tweets too, to take us into the weekend coming up on Locked On 49ers. Hey NFL fans, listen up. Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC, is offering a complimentary bottle to all football fans in America. To get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, text DRAFT to 231-231. This unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels and increase energy and lean muscle mass. Plus, text now and they'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back in shape absolutely free. And if you're over 40, don't let age get in the way. Get your edge back with Nugenix. Text the word DRAFT to 231-231. That's DRAFT to 231-231. Message and data rates may apply. Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited time flavor like jalapeno? Recently, if you find that one, give it a shot. I was pleasantly surprised. Coconut, coconut almond, peanut butter is my favorite, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, raspberry, some of the classic flavors there, and they're filtering through new flavors all the time. Something for everyone. And as we know from the Built Bar bracket, some passionate fans about their favorite flavors. Not only are Built Bar the best tasting protein bars on the market, they're healthy too. We're talking 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams of net carbs, and 4 grams of sugar. You can find a flavor that satisfies you or build your own box of Built Bars and use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. Go to BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Let's get a couple of these tweets out of the way, then spend the rest of the pod on some of these emails that I'm catching up on. Aaron says, hey, Brian, on the conversation of when Lance should start, if we've said Jimmy just needs more experience to take that next step, that he can't get that experience sitting on the bench, shouldn't that apply to Lance as well? I say get him started week one. Well, I think there's sort of a graph, right, where there's the y-axis and x-axis, and one is how much playing time he needs to become the player he needs to become, and the other axis is how ready he is. If you put him in too early when he's not ready, that can do more damage than good, I'm sure. And the 49ers expect to win early, so I'd be shocked if Trey Lance is out there in week one. That would mean he's clearly better in training camp than Jimmy Garoppolo and gives the 49ers a better chance to win in week one, and that he's absolutely ready. And I think the 49ers would then be shopping Jimmy Garoppolo even before the season started. That would be an unlikely scenario. I think I said this week that it was about a 5% chance that Lance starts week one, and that 4.5% of that percent is probably a Jimmy Garoppolo camp injury. And even then, maybe we're talking about Nate Sudfeld or Josh Rosen being the starter in week one. I don't know if week one is the right time, because you don't want to start him too early, but you do want to start him when he is ready, and You want to get him reps, even if he's not quite ready, you still want to get him reps this year. Blowout games, garbage time. Maybe if the 49ers season doesn't go as well as they thought and they start losing games, then it's like, look, whatever, then put him in there and let him take his lumps in the second half of the year after he's had a nice bit of time to try to figure things out from the mental side and watch the game from the sideline, see the speed of the game, and work in practice for a good half a season. So that's why I keep putting the over-under at about half the season. And, you know, obviously a lot depends on health of Jimmy Garoppolo and how the other guys look in the quarterback room. Do they keep 3 quarterbacks? Do they keep 4 quarterbacks even, just in case if the young rookie's not ready? But just throwing him in there in week one, just saying, he needs it, put him in there, that doesn't really help anybody if he's not actually ready. And it could probably actually hurt him. Then it would, you know, the fans would not have as much confidence in him, his teammates wouldn't have as much confidence in him, so it doesn't make sense to put him in there when he's not ready to go. And in fact, maybe waiting an extra week or two, that when you believe he is ready to go, to put him in there is better than putting him in a week or two when he's definitely not ready and his head's still spinning, because he probably won't play well anyway and he'll learn fewer lessons potentially. But at some point, I think as a rookie, you need to play him, because he can't come into 2022, or as Jed York said, potentially sitting two more years. I mean, that's crazy. If the last time he played one game essentially, which was a glorified scrimmage in 2020, that he played that one game between December of 2019 all the way to 2023, that's 3.5 calendar years, 3 full seasons. That's nuts. You can't do that. I don't think that's going to be, I mean, people, quarterbacks used to do that and sit for a while, and I'm sure there's a ton you can learn by sitting on the bench, but I don't know if you can replace game reps, game speed, people actually trying to hit you, which is not going to happen in practice. I don't think you can replace that. I think there's a lot you can learn, and I think there's a ton he probably could learn for most of a year, but game reps are also very important to developing, I think, in the NFL as a quarterback, especially now because practices aren't what they used to be. There's not full speed practices. You don't have guys trying to hit you. There's just fewer practices total too. And Richard says, Kay Johnson available, good fit. Talking about Kerryon Johnson, Lions running back that was waived this week. I think he could fit, but the Niners are just full to the gills with running backs. So I don't think that would make sense at all. It's just not even worth the waiver claim. It's not even worth the salary, because I think he would come in as the fourth running back at most, and he's got an injury history. I think it's just completely unnecessary. So he's a fine player. He's talented, but for whatever reason, it didn't work out, and they drafted another running back, Deontay Swift. What's his? It's not Deontay Swift. Swift. What's his first name? I don't know. Anyway, see, I told you, man, when the draft prospects fill my dome every year, I forget actual current NFL players, because it just, I don't have enough room in this noggin for that many names. I forget my own phone number, forget my address. But Swift was drafted 2 years after Kerryon. And it's like, well, they must already have not been on board with Kerryon Johnson. So something's going on there with him and injuries and maybe even more. So yeah, that's a big no for me on Kerryon Johnson. Just unnecessary with all the bodies the 49ers have at running back. Uh-oh. You know, there's been a lot fewer of these this year. People who were just really didn't like the draft at all. I've got one here. Let's start with the negative email first. This one's from Alessandro. He says, draft was terrible. Really? If you address this on the show, feel free to paraphrase. Take the salient points of this email. I don't have Twitter, and there's so much to talk about. I love the 49ers, but this draft was their worst in years. With my limited fan base knowledge, I would give them a D. Lance, for 3 first-rounders aside, they blew rounds 2 and 3. Kyle is a great coach, but this combo of Shanahan and Lynch is just not cutting it as far as drafting goes. They are constantly reading the room wrong and wasting resources. If they ever succeeded, it was in spite of their drafting. Maybe they should just always trade draft picks in rounds 1 and 2 and just draft later. Why trade down in round 2 to pick a round 3 offensive lineman? Why not stay put and draft Asante Samuel Jr.? If you trade down, why draft Banks when so many prospects with first round grades are still there? So I think you kind of understand where Alessandro is going here. He says, love Sherman as a person, but I hope their plan is to not rely on him. On a separate note, could they somehow still get Julio Jones? P.S. Have never contributed to sports talk, though I listen constantly. Well, thank you for listening, Alessandro, and appreciate the email there. And I think you are a little bit too negative about the draft. I would put it this way. My life changed and my life choices changed once I had a child. I might have wanted a sports car, ended up with a sports utility vehicle. You got to think, and if I had 3 kids, I would have the stupidest, big, weird minivan that I thought I would never own. So I think that's the lens you have to look at this draft through. And I agree with you. The 49ers, and especially going up to get Kyle Shanahan's guys, they've wasted some resources. And they've picked a lot better later rounds when Adam Peters is kind of running the show. And I think that's pretty clear. And this happens a lot when you have a head coach that's in charge, because they care less about the draft resources. They just want their guys, and they see something they like, and they want to go get them. And I agree with you. I think the 49ers didn't need to trade up to number three. I think that was too much to give. And there's a lot of unknowns with whatever quarterback they were going to take there. And history tells us that the Miami Dolphins win that trade 9 times out of 10. But then the Dolphins went and screwed up that value and then let the Eagles have some of that value. I love what the Eagles did. They moved from 6 to 12, back up to 10, gained an extra first rounder, and still got as good, maybe better, a wide receiver at number 10. So essentially, in most cases, trading down is the good move. Trading up makes sense in some cases, and quarterback is one of them. But man, the 49ers gave up a lot. So I understand where you're at. Moving up for a running back, yeah. And I think there's an argument out there that, look, they traded down first from the second round, so they had an extra pick to play with. So, you know, it was a fourth and then a fourth that they gained to move up and get a running back. So it was house money, which I get, but that's still not a smart play. And for those of you who are successful gamblers out there, I don't know how many successful gamblers there are, but just because you win one hand doesn't mean you go all in on a bad hand on the next one and throw all that extra money away. The smart move is to get up from the table when you get that excess money when you win a hand, right? And walk away a winner. And so trading back up for running back undoes that, in my opinion. So I totally get where you're coming from, Alessandro, but I think overall the 49ers had a solid draft, and you have to think of it through the lens of their new rookie quarterback. Protecting him with the second rounder, maybe he went a little higher than I would have liked in Aaron Banks, but they did trade down first. They did get some extra resources, even though they used those again to go get a running back and trade up. But that move was sound. You get a player who's healthy, who you can count on, plug him in, good pass protector, can help you move the chains in the running game. So I get it. It's a practical move. It's the minivan of draft picks. So from that standpoint, I think you will be okay with this draft eventually, because I think they did draft some solid players. Obviously, every year I would always do it differently. Maybe next week I'll go through my podcast of my shadow 49ers, and you will see that I definitely did things differently, as I always do. And I do believe my depth chart dating back to 2013 and all the way to now is fantastic and better than what the 49ers depth chart would be if I was just making the draft picks for him. So I feel your pain. I don't think that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch combo are necessarily the best drafters in the NFL, but there's teams doing it worse. And I know they've lost 3 out of 4 years, but the roster is still in pretty darn good shape and they're competitive guys. And I think a lot of fans can identify with, look, go get your guy. I've heard a lot of that. Go get your guy. Who cares what it costs? Shanahan finally has his guy at quarterback. And as I've said, even if it was an overpay, if Trey Lance does turn out to be a superstar, then whatever, because the superstar quarterback is worth 3 first-round picks, and that's just the way it is, especially a 20-year-old quarterback, and he's got all the talent in the world to become that. So we'll see what happens, and as always, you know, it takes 3 years to really evaluate a draft class, so we'll probably be going back and looking at some of those old draft classes this summer when we have time. But hopefully I eased your pain a little bit. It's the team that trades down usually ends up on the winning end of things when it comes to trades, but sometimes there's trades up that really work well, and the 49ers traded up for Jerry Rice, and maybe this is one of those deals where they moved up and they end up with a superstar running back in round 3 and a superstar quarterback in round 1. We'll finish up this Locked On 49ers mailbag to end the week next. How have win totals changed in your mind for NFL teams following the 2021 NFL draft at BetOnline? 12.5 over under for those Kansas City Chiefs, 11.5 for the team that beat them in the Super Bowl, over under 11.5 wins for the Tampa Bay Bucks, 10.5 for the Ravens, the Bills, the 49ers at the bottom end of the spectrum, Texans, 4 wins is the over under in Houston. Offensive, defensive rookies of the year, NFL. In addition to NFL futures, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, all the big events, TV events, even reality TV, poker, table games, find it all at betonline.ag. Can't forget horse racing, Triple Crown. Get all the latest odds and info for all your sporting needs. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game. Go to the website or use the mobile app to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. A big reason to repair and maintain your vehicle is to save money. And because chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and always reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Just go head over to RockAuto.com. The website is super easy to use. Find whatever you need for any, and I mean any, make or model of car or truck. RockAuto.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts customers for 20 years online. They have everything you need. Tail lamps, motor oil, jumper cables, small parts, big parts, aftermarket kits, whatever you need to get your car looking and performing its best. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks and get it delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. To Erdahl says, I just heard your Better Rivals crossover. It seems you are not sure who the second QB was. Here's what I texted to my friends. In the interview with KNBR on draft night, Lynch says, I told you, you know where I'm at, but this is really your call. It's a call of, hey, we've got one and we've got 1A, and believe me, number three wasn't bad either. What style do you want to play with? To me, that means 1A, and 1 and 1A were very different style quarterbacks, so 1A must have been Mac. Very interesting to me. For whatever it's worth, I wanted Fields too. I'm okay with Lance. What do you think? Yeah, and I think since you've emailed this, Kyle Shanahan has clarified that it was, in fact, the 1 and 1A were Trey Lance and Mac Jones, and he said he probably would have been cool with all of them at pick 12. So I wonder if he, and it's pretty clear that they maybe misread the quarterback scenario at the top of the draft and overpaid. And so hindsight and previous sight, when they made the trade, I thought it was too much and unnecessary to go up to three when they did. But 49ers fans, now it's hard because Trey Lance is your guy and those five jerseys are going to be everywhere and you love your guy. And if you had to go up to three to get Trey Lance, I think most 49ers fans right now will be cool with it. And if he develops, they will continue to be cool with it. And if he does not, then we're going to have to revisit those conversations about what the 49ers traded to go up and get their guy in the process that ended in that. But Erdahl, you definitely read that correctly. Paul says, can't decide which question or idea to tweet, so I'll break them up. If any of these are worth answering, great. If not, thanks for a great show. Sorry, Paul, none of them are worth answering. Let's move on. No, so let's go. I'll go to one of them. I'll just pick them at random here. Let's see. I feel like Lance's rookie contract may be even more valuable with the 49ers because where they are spending the money, they know they will be great. Bosa, Warner, possibly Verrett, maybe McGlinchey too. How do you think the O-line shakes out? You're right, they need to get Trey on the field. Any thoughts? I'd hate to see it be just gadget plays. What do you think about giving notice to Mostert and McGlinchey? Yeah, okay, so a lot there. Paul, appreciate the email. McGlinchey's a tough one for me, but on a rookie contract, they can probably fit a lot of that in. And maybe it comes down, you can't pay everybody. I think it sounds to me with drafting two guards this year, like Lake and Tomlinson might be the odd man out. None of those players are probably starting offensive tackle caliber. So it sounds like McGlinchey, who they said they're picking up his fifth year option next year, he's at least going to be around for two more seasons and he could get a pretty big contract as a first round tackle. You'd be spending a lot of money on your offensive tackles there. And at some point, Trent Williams is going to start getting a little bit old. Bosa's going to get a deal in a couple years. Warner, maybe even this summer, Warner could get that big contract like we saw from George Kittle last year. I don't think Verrett's going to get a massive deal, but if he has another healthy season, he probably will earn some free agent dollars. And yeah, having a rookie contract quarterback for the next 4 years will absolutely help him do that. Plus, the salary cap's going to rocket back up next year after fans are in the seats this year because of the COVID season. So, and I think that's what Jed York was referencing earlier when he was talking about the $100 million. There is going to be a lot of money available for the 49ers under the cap to do what they need to do, especially if Garoppolo's gone. But if Garoppolo needs to hang out for one more year, then you know, there goes another 26, 27 million. I'm not sure how much Garoppolo's owed in his last year. I think it's something like 26 million. Maybe they'll have to keep that on the books if he plays awesome and the 49ers win a ton of games and they feel like Trey Lance might not be ready going into year two. So maybe they will have to keep that. But they should be able to do most of what they need to do, even including, you know, Mostert and McGlinchey if they want to do that. But it looks to me like guys that are on the last year of their deal and they spend a bunch of draft capital on those positions like running back and guard, it would seem to me Lake and Tomlinson, Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, those guys, they're pretty willing to let walk at this point. Email from Kevin here says, hey, Brian, read something about Troy Polamalu working with new USC safety Talanoa Hufanga. Do you think you can book him for your show? Troy, that is, maybe next weekday. Not a Twitter fan. Thanks. Okay, thanks, Kevin, for that. Appreciate it. It's okay if you're not on Twitter. You should get on Twitter, though, just to tweet at me. It's worth it. It's cool that Troy Polamalu is working with him, and that's always the comp that he gets is Troy Polamalu because he's a playmaker and he's a smart player and he plays tough, and so he plays close to the line of scrimmage, and I can see the connection there between Polamalu and Hufanga. Hufanga is much less athletic than Troy Polamalu was. As for having him on the show, that'd probably be pretty unnecessary because I don't think I would get straight answers. Sometimes it's one of those things where he would just be fluffing up his own guy, and I would just rather watch the tape and give you my opinion, to be honest, of Hufanga. And maybe there'd be some good insight. Maybe one of the other fine journalists that cover the 49ers will talk to Polamalu about it, and we can pull some quotes from that. But a lot of those things, and that's why I don't go very hard at getting players on the podcast, because there's so much fluff in it, and it doesn't excite me. Sometimes there's interesting stuff and I want to talk to a player because it's interesting, and the 49ers aren't great about granting us all that access, especially me. When it's just fluff, that's not what this podcast is about, and I think that's why people appreciate it. And there's sometimes it'd be really interesting to talk to a guy, and then usually those players are much harder to get, but occasionally there is a really good fit and you have a player on the show. But a guy like Polamalu, who's training the guy, it would be pointless to be like, hey, tell me about him. Oh, he's amazing. You know, I could probably tell you already what Polamalu would say about Hufanga if I had him on the show. And Hufanga, by the way, hearing some of his interviews, I think he's wired correctly. I think fans are going to love him, love the way he plays, be one of those guys that's a special teams demon for a while, and people are clamoring for him, like, put him on defense, start the guy at strong safety. I could see him being a fan favorite for sure. All right, a couple more here. Andrew says, do you think the shift in drafting priorities in 2021 highlights an evolution of the Shanahan playbook to counter how defensive coordinators have learned to defend us? In the past, this regime has steered away from power running backs, running QBs, as well as drafting interior offensive linemen and running backs, trends which were all well and truly bucked this draft. Do you foresee a playbook Darwinism to follow? Thanks for the email, Andrew. I do see some things changing, but I think that the guys they got, even though they're bigger, more powerful, I think it's more about moving the chains and protecting your quarterback. As I mentioned earlier, they're minivan draft picks, but they still fit. They can still get them from the same A to B that they always did. And Ohio State runs a lot of zone runs, and Trey Sermon is good at running zone runs. He's just not the smaller, faster type running back, but they want to be able to move the chains. And the 49ers run game has been such a big play run game, but they've probably not as good just moving the chains and chugging along and getting chunks of yardage every play. And I think that's what they want to get better at. So I think we saw that with their draft picks on both the offensive line and at running back. And it all leads to helping out their young quarterback that they're trying to develop. And when he goes in there, you want him protected in the passing game, and you want the 49ers run game running well that will also protect your quarterback and help Trey Lance. So I don't think it's going to be a ton different, but you are going to see a lot more quarterback runs, obviously, just because he's got that athleticism. And we saw him even break it out with C.J. Beathard a little bit last year. You just have to utilize that. And I think that's what makes an athletic quarterback's floor so high in the NFL these days, is you can put a scheme in early in their career to make them successful and really stress a defense, even if mentally and as a passer, they're not quite at that surgical level yet. Last one here from John. He says, love the pod and all your work you put into making it great. Appreciate that, John. Thank you very much. A quick thought that I'm not even sure I agree with, but we know the team is built to win now. If Jimmy has the team rolling and is healthy, nobody wants to shake up a depth chart with a quarterback swap. But as you've mentioned, we want Trey to get meaningful live reps. How to do it? The Dan Reeves rookie year Michael Vick plan. You remember it, right? Chris Chandler would start games, but Vick would just come in for a series or two at most. Vick only started two games, but played in a total of 8 games that year. He got meaningful snaps, but avoided getting overloaded, and it wasn't the simple one play a game where they use the rookie as a gadget player. I love that scenario, and if the 49ers are able to do that and still win games, and I think it has a lot to do with how well they're playing, and if they're up a couple of scores, it's a lot easier to put your rookie in there for a drive or two. I think that makes a lot of sense. Just getting his feet wet, letting him see the speed of the game, letting him call some plays. I think there's just a lot you can learn from being on the field. It's just the last bit of development you're going to need as a player. I'm sure there's a ton you can learn in practice, maybe for a whole season's worth, but getting some snaps on the field will absolutely help you, and it will make teams prepare. Like, if you come out in week one and just put Trey Lance in at quarterback for one play, every team the rest of the year is going to see that and have to start preparing for it. Gosh, they're going to put Trey Lance in the game, aren't they? Right? So it just makes the rest of the teams and Kyle Shanahan's job easier, and he can just have some fun with some people, right? And I wouldn't be shocked. I don't know what week the 49ers play the Seahawks first, but the week before that, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Trey Lance gets in the game for at least one snap just to remind him, hey, you got to prepare for this too. All right, good stuff. Thanks for all the questions, everybody. We'll continue, no doubt, to cover some of these topics all spring and summer long as we prepare for the 2021 season. And keep those questions coming at BD Peacock, Locked On 49ers at Gmail. Have a great weekend. Talk to you next time right here, Locked On 49ers.